All right, recently we've been on a study in Psalm 23. It's a famous psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and maybe some of you here have it memorized by heart. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Last week we studied that He leads us beside quiet waters. What does a good human shepherd do for a sheep?
Protects the sheep.
He leads them beside quiet waters so that they can drink. You know, sometimes sheep get restless. They get thirsty. And so what do? I've been studying this by Philip Keller. When they get restless, sometimes they go to polluted potholes of water in order to satisfy their thirst. And in going to polluted potholes of water, sometimes they pick up disease germs. And eventually it could kill them. And we are the sheep of whose pasture?
Christ.
We are the sheep of God's pasture. And human sheep sometimes tend to do the same thing. And maybe in your life you've done the same thing, friend. Maybe life has thrown you a curve. Maybe some hardship has arisen in your life. Maybe it's gotten tough in your life. And you're trying to find answers. You're trying to find peace. And maybe like those sheep, you have gone to polluted potholes. What are some of the polluted potholes that people go to? They go to addictions, chemical addictions, trying to find answers, trying to find peace. Some people go to the polluted potholes of immorality, sleeping with somebody who is not their spouse. Some people go to the polluted pothole of fortune tellers, palm readers, horoscopes. But friends, guess what? If you keep going to polluted potholes, eventually it can take your life. There's only one that you're to turn to when life gets tough. Who is that?
God.
Jesus Christ. Jesus. He is our only hope. He says in John 4, verses 13 through 14, that He gives the living waters. When the going gets tough, friend, in your life, that's not the time to slip away from Christ. When the going gets tough, you need to remain close to Christ. You need to hope in Christ. Stick strong to Christ. Make Him Lord over every area of your life. He'll give you the living waters that'll bring you inner peace. When the going gets tough in your life, remember this, that God ultimately is in control. Job knew it. How many know about Job in the Old Testament? Amen. He lost everything, his possessions, his family. He was the richest man in the East. His wife said, "Job, curse God and die." And what did Job say in Job 13, verse 15? He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him," or "yet will I hope in him." That has got to be the cry of our hearts. When life gets tough, when it throws me a curve, when a hardship arises, I will yet hope in Christ. The overarching theme in Job is God is in control. Friend, when life gets tough for you, remember this, that God is still in control. Say it with me today. God, you are in control.
You are in control.
Even in the middle.
Even in the middle.
Of my storm.
Of my storm.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 23:3. We're going to talk about this today. He says, "He restores my soul." Why does the psalmist write that in Psalm 23:3? That God, the good shepherd, restores my soul. You've got to understand something about human shepherds and sheep. Sometimes a sheep will hit a soft spot and lay down. He lays down on a soft spot, and the center of gravity moves on the sheep. And all at once, he's cast down. It's known as a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. And he's in this soft spot, and he's on his back. Center of gravity is moved, and he's swinging his legs back and forth like this. It's a cast down sheep. Sometimes a sheep's wool gets really heavy and it gets matted with debris and he is cast down. He just can't get up. But what does a loving shepherd do to the sheep who is cast down? A loving shepherd, a good shepherd, turns him right side up, puts him on his feet so that the sheep is safe and can mingle with the rest of the flock. And friends, human sheep fall into those traps sometimes in the same way. Sometimes human sheep get cast down in their souls. That's why he writes here in Psalm 23:3, "He restores my soul." Amen. You might be like that cast down sheep today. Maybe you've fallen into a pit of depression. Maybe you have fallen into a pit of grief and you're laying on your spiritual back with your arms and your legs swinging and you can't seem to climb out of the pit of depression. Friends, I don't know what has caused that pit of depression in your life. Maybe it's an unexpected loss, an unanticipated report. Maybe somebody that you really, really loved, a grandparent, a parent, a child, maybe it's died. I don't know what's caused your depression. Maybe you're in depression today. In a pit of depression on your back, you are like that cast down sheep and you can't seem to get out. You might be in a pit of grief today over a loss. Maybe it was a job situation in your life. Maybe you really enjoyed a career at one time or a job, and maybe you got sick in your body and it caused you to have to stop working at that job. And so you're in grief today. You're in a pit of grief, cast down with your spiritual back, on your spiritual back with your legs swinging today. Well, there's something that sheep know, have to know about their shepherd. There is something that sheep have to have in their human shepherd. And what is that? What is the thing that that sheep have to have in their human shepherd when they're cast down? Who said it? Who said that? Exactly. The sheep has got to have trust. That innocent sheep trusts its shepherd. He knows that the shepherd loves him. He doesn't doubt the love of that shepherd for even a moment. He knows the loving shepherd's voice. He knows that that shepherd is going to come to his rescue. He knows that the shepherd is going to put him back on his feet so that he can be safe and mingle in fellowship with the other sheep. Does that make sense? And guess what, friends? We're human sheep. We're the sheep of God's pasture. We have got to have the same element, the same key in God that the sheep have for their shepherd. Turn to Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. When you're cast down in your soul, when you're depressed, when you're grieving, this is what you've got to remember. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Says the same thing in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Friend, maybe you're disturbed on the inside today, depressed and downcast in your soul. What is the key to get out of that downcast position? The psalmist says it. Psalm 42, verse 5. It's an open book test. What do we have to have in God? That's it. We've got to have hope in God. This word hope from the original language can mean trust, to be patient. You know, friend, I've got good news for you today. God will not let you die in your downcast position. Let me say it again. God will not let you die in your downcast position. He's not going to let you suffer in that depression and in that grief. He is out to rescue you. God has got your back. Say it with me today. God has got my back. He is my loving shepherd. In Jesus' name. Amen. What is God looking for in you, friend, in me? When you're downcast, you're on your spiritual back, your legs are going back and forth, you're in depression, you're in grief, what is God looking for? Psalm 42:5. He's looking for hope, trust, for us to be patient. There is one thing the Bible tells us that pleases God. What is it that pleases God? Faith. Faith. He's looking for trust. He's looking for faith. God is going to give you the strength to climb out of the pit you might be in today. The pit that you may be downcast in today. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? The writer says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, what does that say to you and me? That with faith, it is possible to do what? It's possible to please God. God is looking for faith. He's looking for hope. He's looking for trust. Just like that sheep trusts its shepherd without doubting his love for a moment, that's the way God wants us to trust him, to hope in him. A child, a little girl who knows that her daddy loves her, that her daddy won't let her down. She's got what in her daddy? Her daddy comes home at night and he knocks on the door. She's 3 years old, say. She runs to that door to jump into daddy's arms. Why? She knows that her daddy loves her, right? What does he do? He provides for her shelter. He provides her bed. He provides her food. He provides everything that she needs in life. That little child has got what type of faith in daddy? That child has got childlike faith. Amen? Amen? Amen. Childlike faith. All right, and that's the same thing that God wants from us. He wants childlike faith. What does childlike faith do? It trusts God undoubtedly. It doesn't doubt the goodness of God for even a moment or a second. Childlike faith knows that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Childlike faith does not doubt the goodness and the ability of God for even a millisecond. Childlike faith says, I know that God will do what His Word says He will do for me. I'm not going to doubt God. I'm not going to doubt His Word. I'm going to believe it even though the situation in my life is tough. Even though a storm has hit my life. Even though right now I am in the pit of depression, in the pit of grief, I will yet hope in my loving shepherd, God. If you agree with that, say amen. God is looking for hope. He's looking for faith. He's looking for trust. Childlike faith. And God is wanting you to do something with your hope, with your trust, with your faith. What is God wanting you to do with your faith, with your trust, with your hope? You know, it's not enough to just believe that God is going to drop the miracle on your lap. I just know that I know that I know that God is going to rescue me from this pit of depression. I just know that I know that I know that God is going to rescue me from this pit of grief. And you just sit there all day just saying, I know that I know that I know. And that's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that God will do a miracle on your behalf. But it takes more than just faith. It takes some action on our part. We've got to add some action, some doing to our faith. I'll give you a personal story here. Back in 92, I came to Oral Roberts University, but before that, I was a senior in high school in 92. And through a series of events, God had spoken to my dad and said that Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University. And I just felt like a burden lifted off my soul when he told me that. And so I applied to Oral Roberts University, retook the SATs, and, you know, I just had faith. I just knew that I knew that I knew that God had my back, that God was wanting me to come to Tulsa, Oklahoma from New Jersey. I just knew that God was in control of my life. I had faith. But I had to add some action to my faith. What did I have to do to get to Tulsa, Oklahoma and go to Oral Roberts University? What did I have to do? There were certain things I had to do. I had to take the SAT. It's a college entrance exam. I had to retake it to get some extra points and get a scholarship. I actually had to come out and visit the university in April of 92. And then finally, in August of 92, I had to do something. I booked a flight, took all the clothing I had, and I flew out to ORU and began studying. I had to add some action to my faith. And it's the same way with us, friends. God wants to do a miracle on your behalf. If you're in a cast-down position right now, like that sheep, God wants to turn you right side up. But you've got to add some action. You know, God is super. Would you agree? Yeah. How many would agree that God is super? He is the supernatural one. Well, you've got to take something in the natural that you can do and add it to God's super to allow the supernatural power of God to go into effect in your life. Is that making sense? Take something that you can do in the natural. Add it to God's super. And the supernatural power of God will go into effect in your life. Now, for instance, if you're in the cave of depression, you're stuck in there. You're like, man, I just know that I know that, that God can turn me right side up so that I can climb out. You can know that you know that you know. You can have faith, but you should do something in the natural to get out of the cave of depression. What could you do in the natural? In order to add it to God's super. You can find somebody out there who's more depressed than you. And you can speak into that person's life. That God loves you. I believe in you. God cares about you. You know, you're on this earth with a purpose. God is going to do something great with your life. What are you doing when you encourage somebody else? You're doing what you can do in the natural. And you're adding it to God's super so that the supernatural miracle working power of God goes into effect in your life. Find somebody else who is less fortunate than yourself and make that person's day. Help them climb out of their depression. I guarantee if you do that, God will do a miracle in your life. You might be grieving over a loss. Maybe you lost someone, a loved one, a family member. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost benefits. Maybe you lost something in your life. And you're really deeply in grief right now. Did you know what, friends? There is somebody out there today who is in deeper grief than you. You know, when a person is in grief, they're doing what? They're focused on... When a person is in grief, they're focused on themselves. If you're in grief today, start doing something in the natural. Start shifting the focus from yourself to somebody else. Help that person who's grieving. Sit with that person. Be a friend to the grieving person. He might be lonely. Be a friend to the lonely. Spend some time with that person. You know, get into the scriptures and speak the scriptures into their life. Pray with that grieving person. And if you do so and step out of yourself, you're shifting your attention from yourself to somebody else, and I guarantee you that you will step quickly out of the pit of grief that you might be in today. Amen?
Amen.
Is that making sense? So are you downcast in your soul today, friend? What does the Word of God say in Psalm 42:5? Psalm 43:5? Put your what in God? Put your hope, your trust, be patient, put your faith in God. You know, miracles don't happen overnight every time. They don't happen overnight every time. You know, payday with God is not always on Friday. He's never late. He's not always early. He's never late. He is just on time. So I don't know what miracle you're believing for today. My only word to you today is this. The good news is keep on believing God for your miracle. When the going gets tough, the tough in God by faith get going. You've heard me talk about Abraham before. Abraham was how old when God promised that he'd make him into a great nation? He was 75. Genesis chapter 12. He was 75 years old. When did the miracle son come into his life? When was the miracle son born through whom the great nation would come? When Abraham was how old? 100. So you take 100 minus 75, and that equals how many years of believing God? 25 years, Abraham did not stop believing God. And you might have been believing God for a week for your miracle to come out of that depression, that grief, whatever it might be in your life. You might have been believing for a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year. And maybe you're quitting. Maybe you're wanting to give up right now. Man, God, this is just too tough. I just can't keep believing. When you get weak, pray to God. In your weakness, His strength will be made evident. When you get weak, God will shower His divine empowerment upon your life. I guarantee that if you pray to God and say, God, I'm weak, I can't believe anymore, God will strengthen your faith. How many here have ever gotten weak in faith? Have ever gotten weak in believing God? You've been waiting so long. Friends, do not give up. Remember, Abraham was a man just like you and me. He waited for 25 years, and friends, so can we. Amen? Just say it. I know
that I know
on the inside,
on the inside.
That God will do a miracle.
In my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I'm going to do something in the natural.
I'm going to do something in the natural.
To make that come about.
To make it come about.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
The supernatural miracle working power of God is going to go into effect in your life. He's looking for childlike faith.
Amen.
Never doubting His goodness for even a moment. He's looking for persistent faith. A faith that does not quit. That does not give up. Does that make sense?
Amen, brother.
The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. If you are a cast down sheep today, God wants to turn you right side up. All He's looking for is hope, trust, faith towards Him. Amen?
Amen.
Kevin, share something with us. Sorry, on the spot here.
You know, we're talking about persistence. You know, for 20 years, since the day I decided to start praying about a certain situation in my life. See, I couldn't read. Okay, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I couldn't read until I was 22 years old. That sounds kind of shocking. I went through high school like that. And here's the deal. I had dyslexia. I didn't know what to do, and I kept praying and praying and praying. And one day I got a job at Oral Roberts University at the City of Faith Hospital. And a seminary student came up there who had a book of theology. I don't know if you even know what that is, but a book of theology. And there was no way I could read this. I could barely even write what I had to do for the job I was doing. He came up, hands me the book, and anointing falls on me, and this dyslexia raises off of me. And for the first time in my life, I could open this book and read it totally. Now, 20 years of standing in faith, asking the Lord to deliver me from dyslexia. It took that long, like Jonathan said. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. You have to be persistent.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So God gets you in that position where He needs you to bring the deliverance that you need.
Amen. That's good. And God lifted it off your life, right?
Amen. Yes.
He healed you.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. And you know what? God wants to restore your spiritual life, friend. Maybe you might be down spiritually. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, guess what? You are downcast in your spirit. Hands down, no doubt about it. And the only one that can restore your spiritual state is whom?
Jesus.
Is Jesus Christ, God the Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If He comes into your life, He will restore your soul. But you've got to invite Him in and say, Jesus, be the Savior and the Lord of my life. I can't do this on my own. I need peace in my life. Jesus Christ wants to give it to you. He's the one who wants to restore you spiritually. Behold, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come.
Come on, bro.
Amen?
Amen.
So you might not have Jesus Christ in your life right now, and Jesus is wanting to make His abode in your heart. You've got to say, Jesus, for the first time, I'm wanting to accept You as my Savior.